we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Friday, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio broadcast. My name is Bob Arthurs, and it's my pleasure to spend the next half hour with you here on WMIE 91.5. I have the privilege of pastoring Merritt Assembly of God. We are 2 days away from having a food auction at our church where we're going to be raising up some funds at the end of the meal or at the end of the service to send some of our kids to youth camp and kids camp in the coming weeks. I'm really excited about that. Should be the largest group that we had ever had. Up until last year, the only kids who had ever gone away to summer camp were two of my children. And they both went by themselves. Neither one of them enjoyed it at all. And that was a long, long time ago. Last year, we sent, six different kids to camp last year. And this year, I believe we're sending even more than that. And so we look at camps and conventions, men's conferences and women's conferences. We look at them as investments into people's lives. I know that that a lot of times where the people are asking for people to pay their own way. And, you know, I don't understand everybody's financial situation. Just want to tell you our mindset is if we can invest a small amount of money in you, and then when you come back from the conference, you are more effective for the kingdom of God. I tell you, that is what we consider a wise investment, because it is going to result in greater kingdom impact than it would have before. And so that's what's coming up. That is this Sunday, immediately after the service. I don't know all of the dishes that are being prepared. There are some desserts, some main courses. And so we've got to hurry up and clean out our refrigerator so that we can make room for whatever is coming. So that is what is coming up at Merritt Assembly of God this weekend. The following weekend, June the 12th, is going to be our 64th anniversary at the church. And we would love to have you come and be a part of. Maybe you've been listening for a while. I'm going to be preaching that service. And you'd just like to come out and celebrate. We'll probably have some cake after the service. Maybe you just want to come by, put a face with the voice that you hear on the radio here from time to time. We just want to thank you. It's always fun for us to hear of people throughout the community who tell people from our congregation that they listen to the radio program. It's not an ego thing for us. It is, you know, we want to invest. This is, you know, just like what we do with our men, our women, our young people, our kids, and investing in them. The words that I share here are words that I have shared at our church. It doesn't mean that what I'm sharing here on the radio is what I just preached this last week or 2 weeks ago. Sometimes that happens, but it's, you know, what does God want us to do right now? Right now, we are going through the book of Isaiah here, chapter 9, and we're talking about government. You know what is being decided here in America in 2016? What is government going to look like in 2017, 18, 19, and 20? And you need to be praying and asking God for the increase of his government here in America. it needs to be founded upon his principles. Yesterday on the program, we said of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. So it is supposed to be a perpetuating, increasing government and peace. If it is not doing that, if it is not built upon the foundation of Jesus, then that means that we are going to see diminishing. Every government that is not built on the foundation of God's word with Jesus as the source and the supplier of that wisdom, you're going to see diminishing returns on his peace. Because where there is no Jesus, there is no peace. There's a big cry right now, no justice, no peace. We're going to talk a little bit about justice here today. But there are people that say no justice, no peace. I want you to know that where there is no Jesus governing, there is no peace. It's not going to be increasing. It is going to be shrinking. So let's look at verse number 17. It says, or verse number 7 of Isaiah chapter 9. By the way, our service time Sunday morning, 9:30 for Sunday school, 10:30 for worship, 6:30 for our Sunday evening service. Verse number 7, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So we talked about yesterday about the link between Jesus as the Prince of Peace and the increase of his government and peace. There will be no end. It means that it's going to be perpetually increasing. There's no limit. There's no maximum. So for you and I, our aspirations should be to continue to discover new areas of our life for Jesus to govern. I don't want Jesus just to be my Savior. I want him to be my Lord. I've had people tell me through the years that they love it when they hear a word that comes from the throne that brings correction into an area of their life. Right now, we live in a society where people are so easily offended that they're so easily offended that they can't tolerate it if somebody has a difference of opinion or points out something that is erroneous in their life, something that is out of line or it's out of place. They're so sensitive. It's devastating to them to receive even the mildest form of correction. I want you to know that God disciplines those that he loves. So he says, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and establish it. Chaos is simply things that are out of order. And there are times when people get so accustomed to the chaos of life that they consider normal abnormal. They consider order to be abnormal. And so somebody complained, I believe it was to Einstein at one point in time. They said, they saw the condition of his desk and they said, a cluttered desk is evidence of a cluttered mind. And his retort was, then is an empty desk evidence of an empty mind? What it might look like out of order to some, it may be just a different organizational system as far as that goes. My wife and I, we were having this discussion the other day about what her organizational system. Now I've got one of my children, there's actually a couple of them, but one of them to an even greater degree than the other has tremendous organizational skills. If we want something organized, we contact them. Now, there's another one of my kids. They have certain areas of their life that are tremendously organized. And then there's that area that they say, you know what? We're going to allow ourselves a little bit of grace in this area. And so my business major daughter, she loves to organize things. And so we're actually trying to utilize her skills and her abilities now that she's come home from college to put some order in some of the arenas of chaos in our life. Have you ever stopped to consider what the source of the things of your life that are out of order are? You know, I've told you before that there's two references in the scripture where there are people who are in the saying says this: they put their house in order. And the implication is they were doing that. One of them put their house in order and then went out and hung themselves. That was Ahithophel, Absalom's counselor, who had been David's friend, because his counsel had been rejected, and he knew that that his counsel, once it was rejected, that it was going to result in disaster and treasonous charges for him. He just put his house in order, and he went out and died. The other time, Isaiah comes to Hezekiah and says, "Put your house in order. You are getting ready to die." And the thought came to me is, why do we have to wait until it's time for us to die to put our house in order? Why do we allow ourselves the chaos, the disarray, the disorganization? Why do we have to live in that situation until it's time for somebody else to come in and enjoy it? Now, for us, I know where much of the disorganization came from. Much of the disorganization came from because we've moved, I believe, something like 16 or 17 times. Now, mind you, we've lived in our current house for over 15 years. We lived before that in a place for over 7 years. And then the place before that, we were there for a year and a half. And we just moved a great deal when we were very early in our marriage. There was, after our first year of marriage, we moved in someplace. That was a situation that didn't work out. We moved into another place, just temporarily, long enough for us to find another place. And then we lived there long enough for us to, get recruited to go to Texas as assistant pastors. And then we moved down there. We had a baby, got invaded by fire ants. My wife said, "We're moving again." And then we were there for about 2.5 years. So we did a lot of moving very early in our marriage. And whenever we hit the ground, we always hit the ground with a deadline. Okay, we need you here by such and such a date, and this is your first day of work. When we moved into our house, we were all set. It was going to be the first time in our life we were going to be able to go in, get everything all fixed up. We were going to have a month from the time we closed on the house until we had to move out of the place that we were living. 2 days before we were to close on the house, there was a massive hurricane that threatened to the state of Florida. And as a result of that, our closing was postponed. Would you care to guess how long it was postponed? 30 days. And instead of having all that time to repair the house, we ended up having to just get everything out, throwing it in the garage, and moving on the run. That's how a lot of the disorganization came into being. Sometimes things are out of order because you just have too much stuff. How many of you have ever had God say, you know what, you need to declutter? I do a lot of watching of the home improvement shows, and they say, you need to declutter. Get stuff out of here. Get rid of it. And so it says here that of the increase of Jesus' government and his peace, there will be no end. He will rule upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it. Now, here's what order means. It means this goes first, this goes second, this goes third. This is where this goes. This is the place for that. This is your area of jurisdiction. He begins to delegate and place people according to their giftings, their abilities, his will, his desire, their delight, the need that is present. You see, God is not a God of confusion or chaos. He is a God of peace. He is a God of order. Let me say that again. He is a God of order. Let everything be done decently and in order. Everything has its place. So when it comes to authority in my life, I have people that I am in authority over. I also have people that are in authority over me. I would not have it any other way. I don't surround myself with people who are yes people. I want to surround myself with people who say, we can do this better. We can do this better. Do you know that right now, in the past year, we have made adjustments to the way that we do certain things? There was a word that came from God to me that was very influential in my life. It came not quite a year ago. It was very, very poignant. It was quite revelatory. And so I began to put that arena of my life in order. Now, here's when we're talking about things being put in order, here's what happens to me sometimes. So I'm just being very real, very transparent. If I'm in my house and I'm trying to put one room in order, what happens is I start working through that. Something has to go into another room. And a lot of times I will get distracted and I will begin to put something in that room in order until I end up in a different room working on that. We need to allow God to work on the arenas of our life. Listen, if we are body, soul, and spirit, that means that God wants to order things in our life physically. He wants to order things in our life mentally. He wants us to think the way that He wants us to think. He wants us to take every thought captive and bring it into subjection to the will of God. And so don't allow your thought life to be chaotic. Don't let it be just a whole bunch of confusion. Take those thoughts and bring them into subjection. I believe that if we will start and allow God to bring spiritual order to our life, that it is going to manifest itself in the other areas of life as well. So we've got to allow Him to bring order to us individually. Then when He brings order to us individually, it's going to affect us on a family level. It will manifest in order on a church level. It will manifest in order on a county level. But most of the time, we are looking for God to bring order to other people's situations, not to ours. See, I've been around a few construction sites in my life. And whenever there is that renovating process, that upgrading process, it can look very, very messy and very chaotic. But I'm here to tell you that the Spirit of God hovers over the darkness. He hovers over all of that. And He says, it might look a little turbulent right now, but wait till I get through with that. Don't judge the process until the process is complete. You know, I told you that I watched some of these home improvement shows, and about a week or so before people are supposed to move into their house, a lot of times they will come in and they will say, I would have thought the process would have been a lot further along by now than it was. How many of us have ever said that about our spiritual life? God, I would have thought I would have been more mature by now. I would have thought I would have had this by now. I would have thought I would have been more effective for you by now. And God never makes a mistake. He does things sequentially. If you want confusion in your life, start trying to you establish the order instead of Jesus establishing the order. You see, when he puts things in order, it says then that he's going to establish the kingdom. And here is what an established kingdom looks like. Are you ready? Then verse number 7, to order it an establishment with judgment and justice. With judgment and justice. How many of you thought that he would order it and establish it with forgiveness? How many of you thought he would order it and establish it with mercy? You see, mercy triumphs over judgment. That's part of the process. The process could have been a whole lot worse. He could have looked at the mess that we had made out of our lives and said, well, this is hopeless, and let's just throw this away and I'll make someone else rise up in its place. But there's a passage in Jeremiah that when he went down to the potter's house, he saw the potter and the vessel that he was making, it had a flaw in it. And it says in the King James Version, he made it again another. He made it again another. In other words, he found a blemish in it. He found a flaw in it, but he didn't get rid of it. He just reordered it. He got rid of that which was displeasing. He brought order, and then he established it by his hands. And there's a tremendous sermon that goes along with that. God is a God of judgment and justice. That's why we can appeal to him. I don't deserve his mercy. His mercy and his grace are freely bestowed because he loves us. It's not something I can earn. It's something that he gives and bestows. But if you look in the scriptures, the angels declare that God is righteous and true in all of his judgments and all of his ways. Everything he does is just and right. I don't like to hear people complain that God isn't fair. That God isn't fair. Now, it might surprise you why I don't like that. Because God's not fair. In my opinion, God is not fair. Fair would have been for me to split hell wide open because of my sin. It's not fair that Jesus went to the cross and died for my sins so that I could have everlasting life. But I am sure thankful that he did it because he knew that even though Jesus went to that cross, he didn't deserve to go there. And so when the devil thought that he had him, he thought that he had gained the victory. See, he knew who Jesus was. The demon said, we know who you are. We know who you are. You are Jesus, the Son of God. We know who you are. Have you come to torment us? They knew what their end result was going to be. And Jesus silenced them. He came. And he lived. He did all of that because he knew that there was no blemish in him, no sin in him. And so God understood the plan of redemption way better than the devil did. I do want to tell you, though, that you will not experience peace even in your Christian walk if all you do is want to come in every Sunday and ask forgiveness for all of the things you've done wrong over and over and over again over the past week. And you get up, you pray that prayer, and then you go out with the same intent, the same motives to make the same mistakes all over again. That's not what God wants. God wants to empower you to live justly and to live in a holy manner. He says to order it an establishment with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Can I tell you what I read when I read that statement? That the statement there that I read, that the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this, that means that the order, the establishment, The progress that people make in their Christian walk is not determined by how long they have been a Christian. I've heard it said that, you know, in Washington, D.C., people just put in their time. They put in their time because the more seniority they gain, then the more that they are going to authority, they are going to be in line to receive. And so they are just holding their place. They are just waiting their time. They're just waiting it out until it comes. And for some people, it never comes. For some people, it never comes. When I first became a pastor, they told me, they said, what you need is you need more experience. 23 and a half years later, what they say, what you need now is to be young. And it's like, you know, somewhere along the line, I missed something. But there's a lot of Christians who are going through life and they don't have any peace, even though they've been Christians for a long, long time. And it's because there are certain things that have never been yielded to the authority and the lordship of Jesus Christ. And therefore, there is no peace. I've known Christians all my life who came in, they knew all of the things to do, all of the things to say, all of the things to be involved in. But when they left the doors of the church, there was absolute disarray in their life. There were so many issues that didn't line up with the Word of God. And they just kept playing that cycle over and over and over again. And yet there were people who came in, they gave their heart, soul, mind, and strength to God. And before much time had passed at all, they had matured and been radically transformed. They were a completely and totally new creation in Christ Jesus. I want to ask you today, are you ready for God to bring order to your life? Are you ready for Him to establish judgment, justice, and judgment in your life? And are you ready for Him to do that zealously? You see, God is a suddenly type of God. He can accomplish more in a few minutes that you and I could accomplish in an entire lifetime. What would happen if our desire was, Lord, here am I. Anything that's out of order, put it in order. Anything you don't desire in my life, take it out. Get rid of it. Lord, anything you want, that's what I want in my life. It's going to be a great weekend when we do things God's way. Amen. Father, we just want to thank you right now. Lord, we just confess that you do all things well. And Lord, I thank you for divine order. I thank you for establishing your judgment and your justice. God, I pray that there would be great progress made in the body of Christ. Lord, I pray for spiritual breakthrough across the county. Lord, make it happen this week for your glory and praise. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Have a great weekend. We will see you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. And everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve it. Still, I want to love and serve you more and more. You're my one thing. Save me from those things that might distract me. please take him away, purify my heart. I don't want to lose the eternal for the things that are passing. Cause what will I have when the world is gone if it isn't for the love that goes on and on?